Hey, podcast listener. You're about to discover tips, secrets, and strategies used by the world's master influencers to grow your tribe and get the most out of life and business. This is the Pete Godfrey Persuasion Show. To have detailed show transcripts emailed to you, go to PeteGodfreyShow.com and sign up.
Welcome to the Pete Godfrey Persuasion Show, episode number 28. This is producer Blake Sterling with you today, and on the other end of the line, as always, the Wizard of Words, Pete Godfrey. Pete, how are you?
I'm excited, mate, frankly. We've got a good friend of ours on the line today, and we're going to be jamming a bit, have a bit of a three-way, Blake. And they call this lady the copy alchemist. Her name is Pauline Longdon. We've been friends for many years, and Pauline, are you there, mate?
Sure am.
It's great to have you on board, my friend. And today we're going to be talking about how to connect with the conscious consumer. Because, Blake, as you know, my friend, times have changed. And these days, the modern-day consumer is a lot more aware, a lot more plugged in, and a lot more aware of different tactics and stuff that business owners use to get them in. So you've got to be really, really careful with your message these days, now more than ever with social media and stuff like that. So Pauline's going to enlighten us on different ways to connect with the conscious consumer.
Cool.
So it's a way to you, Pauline. Blake's got nothing to say. He's had his porridge.
I've had my porridge and I'm fine. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, cool. I don't blame him though, because it sounds a little woo-woo, doesn't it? Though, you know, the conscious consumer, like, how's that different to what we've been, you know, communicating with in the past? But it's an emerging trend that I've been watching for years, and I was actually reading a book by an Australian girl called Carolyn Tate called Conscious Marketing, and that sort of inspired me to do a bit more research on the topic. And what I've found is it's quite incredible, actually. Mm. So,
and you found different ways you've become more aware of how to connect with the modern-day consumer.
Well, I guess I've always known that because my background is metaphysics, and I don't want to really go into that, but that's sort of why they call me the copy alchemist. But so I've got a bit of a background in that. But just mixing that into the copywriting, and I guess having that deeper connection with the consumer and the market is always a good thing, and that's what we're ideally after. But, Pete, that's not to say that what we've been doing in the past doesn't work. It's just that we need to be more mindful with the tactics because, you know, you and Mal always told me, Mal Emery said that, you know, when we sell to people, we're never starting at zero. We're starting at minus whatever. And for our poor friends in the real estate niche, it's they're starting at, like, minus a million. Because people just don't trust them.
That's a bloody good point, Pauline. And I think it was old Dan Kennedy said all those years ago, we don't sell to virgins. Mm-hmm. And what he meant by that was, like, people have been disappointed before. And in we come saying, this time you won't be, you know. So there's a hurdle that we've got to get over, isn't there?
Yeah, and people really don't know how good you are or how good your product is until they buy it. So you've got to do all that romancing and courting before they even know how good you are. So that's why we need to have that more conscious connection with our market, because they expect that from us now. I mean, in the olden days, it used to be, okay, you'd see it all the time, the USPs were, we give the best customer service, we give you the best care, we give you the best price. Consumers don't really care about that anymore because they expect the best price, they expect the best care, and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So you're not charming them by just giving them what they expect. They actually expect a lot more.
Yeah, and they've heard it all before too, mate, haven't they? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the thing. But Pauline's got five tips for us today.
Looking forward to these. I'll go through the first one. I mean, the first one is to be more purpose-focused and not profit-driven. And what they're talking about here is to know what your purpose is. That is why you're in business. Why do you do what you do? And the whole thing with the conscious consumer is that they understand that you need to make a profit to stay in business. That's not what this is about. But the profit needs to be not at their expense. it has to be used mindfully, you know, to improve the planet or the local community. And they also need to approve of the cause of the purpose. And one example of this recently was, I'm sure you remember this, Pete, everyone does, but, you know, good old Cecil the Lion was shot by a dentist.
Yeah, but Cecil, done anyone any harm, and they shot him.
Yep. Not just, you know, the king of his pride, just out there in Africa, minding his own business, gets shot.
Yep.
So the fallout from that was, you know, we all saw what happened to the dentist, right? And his business was pretty much cactus air for a while, although I heard he's reopened. However, there was some other collateral damage that was actually done. Companies that were associated with people like, you know, the CEO or the board of directors or whoever that enjoyed a bit of hunting were then targeted by the mass crowd. And a lot of that mass crowd was filled with conscious consumers. One company, GoDaddy, was plastered. There was pictures and posts all over the internet about his enjoyment of elephant hunting. And so people were on these forums and posts and Facebook and everything all over the place just saying that, you know, that's it. I'm taking all of my accounts away from GoDaddy because I don't support that sort of behavior. So you saw it there, but then there's also like other undercurrents where the conscious consumer doesn't agree with the policy and it may be like a public policy or it may be a personal policy, but then so then they'll take their consumer dollars and run. But then because they're starting to grow in numbers, they'll start to rally people. You see them on Facebook all the time, you know, the let's not go to Gloria Jean's Facebook group, and you know, people within the GLBT community won't go to Gloria Jean's because of the affiliations religiously with that company, which is something that a lot of people don't know. But I've always got my, you know, ears to the ground, knowing like the undercurrent of what's happening with these companies. You know, like even cafes or restaurants that don't approve of breastfeeding, you know, people will boycott them because they're not conscious with what their consumers want, need, and desire from them.
So this is a damn good point. And let's take info marketers for example, like the guru market that's all over the internet. I'm often amazed when I see political posts on Facebook from a leader, an info marketer leader. And he's getting all this support, but he's getting all this flack. And I always thought to myself, what's the strategic purpose of you telling your tribe whether you're left wing or right wing? Now, I know Dan Kennedy does it well. He does it well. He's a Republican, but not everyone's Dan Kennedy.
Yeah.
And I always, you know, with me personally, I keep my political likes and dislikes to myself because, frankly, I want to sell to everyone. You know, if my customers, you know, vote Labor here in Australia, you know, I don't care. I don't care if they vote Liberal. Mm. You know, they can still buy my products. So what you're saying here too is if you're going after a cause, you better make damn certain that one, that you believe in it.
Yeah.
But also that your tribe, your customers believe in it too. Otherwise, you're going to get a shitload of damage coming your way, especially with social media.
Yeah. Oh, social media, it is brutal. So, you know, people say, oh, it doesn't really matter. But look what happened to that dentist. And then even last year there was, I can't remember her name, but that girl on Twitter who was going over to South Africa, and she said, oh, I hope I don't catch AIDS. Oh, that's right, yeah, I'm white.
So she
was flying in the air. She made the comment. She was flying through the air, and the whole world was sitting there waiting for her to get off that plane to see what the fallout was. But before she landed, she'd lost her job.
Lost her job and everything, before she landed. Yeah. Before the plane landed.
Yeah. Do you know about this, Blake?
Yeah, I heard this. I remember reading about it and just couldn't believe, well, firstly that she put the tweet out, but to then, you know, this lady's up in the air, not knowing a clue what's going on, lands and then comes out. She's lost her job. Everyone hates her.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
And the company actually had to cut her loose because she didn't reflect the attitudes and opinions of people. So, I mean, as a company, you have to watch out what your employees are doing, because they can tarnish you as much as you can. So that's a really huge consideration, especially for these conscious consumers, because they don't forgive very freely.
Yeah, and that's a bloody good tip. Now, tip number two on Pauline's list is customer focused, not product company focused. Can you elaborate on that, mate?
Yeah, like Pete, you know this, and I know that I was at your talk down at Mao's event recently, and you spoke about this in your buyer frenzy. So it's nothing really all that new. So conscious consumers are no different, really. They just still want to know what's in it for me. And as I said before, they want you to do more than your best, because that's what is basically expected from you. But I think where they differ from everyone else is that they would seriously question why you're in business if you're not doing your best. And then they would take that question as far as they could take it, probably to a Facebook group. And, you know, it's like, why is Pete doing copywriting if he doesn't care sort of group? I don't know. That's as creative as they get with the names as well.
but this is bloody good too. And we've talked about that. Pauline and I talk outside of podcasts, and there's a world outside of the Pete Godfrey Persuasion Show, people. But
there is.
but you know, all those letters and like, you read things like from companies, we are proud to announce our new software. I mean, no one cares.
No one cares. Yeah.
No one cares. You can be as proud as you damn well like. But you've got to show them first why you're proud. You're proud because this is going to save you time, money, and effort, and it's as simple as a click of the mouse for old school guys that still use a mouse like me.
Yeah,
you know, and that's a bloody good point. And you know, you've got to be focused on them. You know, and we know this from copywriting 101. But as you said, Pauline, it's even more important these days that you're customer focused, that you're solution focused. You know, that your focus is not on what you're selling, but who's doing the buying. You know,
You know who I think does this really well is Apple. You know, they very rarely mention their products in their advertising. But it's all about the experience. It's all about the community, how you're going to feel. You know, they've got all these people singing and dancing, and they use those they don't even use jingles. And I think Apple was one of the first companies that did this. They, you know, get an up-and-coming band and play their music, and basically that band would explode from the marketing campaign of Apple. And, I mean, that does two things. It shows that, you know, they're looking after up-and-coming bands, which is another tick in the box for the conscious consumer, because it's, hey, you know, they're not just using the same old, they're not using it, you know, a company jingle, isn't that all about the company, not the consumer? I think Apple does that very well. There's a lot of companies that do it very poorly, and I'm not going to really talk about them, but I think...
Well, Google changed its logo.
Yeah, it
and
did.
That was earth-shattering news, and I was horrified. I think they went from a sans serif to a serif font, and I was just shaking my head in dismay, Blake. You know,
I'm sure you were, Pete. Yeah,
it's the big things, but I mean, who's that for? Is that for their population that, you know, wants to read their logo more clearly on a screen, or is it for them?
And this is good, and so the takeaway here for our listeners is you got to flip your thinking from product to prospect. You got to be customer focused, and a lot of times, you know, your big idea, your USP, won't be found in the product itself. It's going to be found inside the hearts and mind of your customers.
Yeah,
you know, so that's the big take-home point for our listeners. Now, number three. Now, this, I love this one because it makes a great point. And tip number three is value-driven, not price-driven.
Yeah, and I mean, again, this is something that we know from our conventional, you know, traditional marketing training. People want value, but especially the baby boomers, you know, they want a really good reason, and they're like the head of this this conscious consumer movement, you know, because they've worked hard for their money. They're getting to up to the time where they're retiring. They haven't got as much money as they were promised. They're not getting the pensions that they expected. Their superannuation is nothing that they can retire on. So they want to know that anything that they buy is going to be value driven. Mind you, though, you know, I've got an example here. It's like, just say you're buying a camera, and I did this with my father recently, and he's a baby boomer, so this is a real-time experience. So when the guy was trying to sell my dad this camera, I said, what can you do to sweeten the deal? Because, you know, I'm in selling.
Of course.
I always get the best deal. But,
is that the best you can do?
Yeah. You know? Is that all you got? Anyway, so I said, what can you do to sweeten the deal? And he goes, well, I'll give you $50 off. And I went, really? Is that all you can do? And I said, what about like a free battery or, you know, a camera case? And he goes, oh, is that what you want? My dad goes, yeah, actually, I prefer the camera battery, because then I don't have to charge it as much. And because he's going to Africa next year on a great big safari, not shooting things.
Not shooting successful life.
Yes, that's why he's getting a camera. But then I said, well, he needs something to protect the camera with. You know, you're not going to buy a $600 camera and just bloody throw it in your pocket.
Mm. Yeah, it's a good point.
And then the guy's going, oh, all right. And so then my dad goes up to pay, and I said to the guy, I said, why were you reluctant to throw in the battery in the case? He said, well, that wasn't even near $50. And yep. I said, but it's perceived value. To my dad, that was worth $100. And he goes, right.
And this is a bloody good point, mate. See how that guy, the first thing he thought about was discount. And for the business owners on this call, even saying the word discount sends shivers of fear up and down my spine. I get this nauseous, I get this nauseous feeling in my guts, because whenever you discount, that's real dollars, you know, that's real dollars. So, you know, you've, in all the years I've been doing this, you never see me do a discount, but as Pauline said, I value add. You know, I add value in other ways, whether that's time with me on the phone or extra products or something, because that's not, you know, if I'm given $100 extra in bonuses, it's not costing me $100. If I take $100 off the price, it's $100 off the price. So but he's, you know, lazy salespeople and lazy business owners, the first thing they think of is a discount. And I tell you what, it's no way to run a business, and you just slash in your profits. Think to yourself, what else can I add of perceived value, as Pauline said, that's going to drive the sale? That's how you do it.
Yeah. Well, you taught me that when I wasn't a copywriter, and you know, I was learning marketing from you and Mal, and you know, I had that healing business, and I was pretty well up there in the industry. But
yeah,
everyone was just I still am, but I no longer teach it. But and the reason for that is I do a 3-day course, and the most amount of money that I could get for that was $697. Now that's 3 days. That is ridiculous. Anyway, instead of discounting, which I never wanted to do because I actually thought the course should have been more, I'd actually add in like a bonus session, not a free session because it's worth money, a bonus session. And then I'd do other things, you know, I'd throw in morning tea, afternoon tea, and then even lunch, you know, at my own events. And I'd still get people try to price shop me and say, well, you know, why are you so expensive? And I always used to flip it, and I'd say, I think what you need to ask is why the other teachers are so cheap. They're only teaching for 2.5 days, not 3 days. Why are they so cheap, and what are they missing out on the course that I'm teaching?
Exactly.
That's right. That's good.
That's good. And you've planted that seed in their heads without actually, you know, just ramming it home. And I know you've used this line before as well, Pauline, and one I've always used for many years, probably got it from Dan. You know, it all goes back to Dan.
Yeah, it does,
you know,
doesn't it?
You know, it's compared to what? You know, your expenses compared to what?
Yeah.
You know, so please don't discount, you know, even in price competitive markets, there's ways that you can still compete and sell top product quality products at high premiums, but you just got to work out exactly, and it comes back to what Pauline said about being customer focused. If you know your customers really well, what do they really, really want? Yeah. You know?
And what do they value?
Yeah. What do they value?
What do they value, not you? You know?
Yeah.
I think that's the most important point for the conscious consumer. But,
Now, tip number four, and this is very important for guys like me and Blake and Pauline, who are copywriters, you know.
Yeah.
Use the right language, you know.
Yeah, I mean, language is very polarizing, and as you said before, with the politicalness and everything like that, sometimes it's not so good to polarize people. I know there's a whole marketing movement out there that, you know, they're out there swearing their heads off everywhere that they can, and that's okay. That's their bag. It's not mine. But so what I'm talking about here, more for the conscious consumer, is not the swearing element. That's to each their own. It's more for the fact that males, when you're writing copy for males, you can push. You know, I particularly like writing that challenge copy. It's like, it's almost like that energy, or they're just saying, hey, if you don't get this, you're a pussy and you're not even a man. You know,
if you're happy struggling along, just barely taking care of your family, that's okay, man. This isn't for you. However, if you're a real man, you got balls, you know, and you want to make a shitload of cash, challenge copy is so good for men. But I instinctively knew many, many years ago not to use that for women. And I asked a few women mates back then as well, and they said, you know, 90% of them said, yeah, I'd find that a turnoff, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, how do you talk to women, Pauline?
Well, you use a more a pulling, like drawing in language, you know, like instead of saying, you're a pussy if you don't join this group right now, it's like you'd say something like, well, in our community, you'll be supported and surrounded by women like you. And it's not necessarily flowery. It's not necessarily like longer or or waffly, but it's just, you can still be direct, but again, it's just using the language that, you know, women would use, you know.
Two important words you said then, mate, was community and support.
Exactly.
That's just total. Like, I was sent a diet promotion a few weeks back that my client sent me. He got this other copywriter to do it, and the guy done a pretty good job, but it was my job to basically start again and do it. And, one of the things that was really jarring, that I felt was really jarring, because this piece was going out to women over 40 who are overweight who want to shed weight, and some of the languaging, like he had eye popping results.
Yeah,
I mean, now eye popping would be all right if you're marketing to the internet marketing crowd.
Yeah,
and he also had a line, you know, it sucks fat right out of your body. I mean, now you know, I don't know.
That sounds like liposuction.
When I read that, you get this too, Pauline. When you're reading something, it jars you.
Yeah.
And you know instinctively, intuitively that, hey, this is wrong.
Yeah.
So I toned down the whole thing, and the first two pages wasn't even talking about the product or stuff. It was just talking about them and how they felt and how they feel about being overweight. And I tied it around a story about how, you know, skinny friends giving you weight loss advice, you know, and they're sitting there eating everything they want while telling you to slow down and order the salad instead of pasta, you know.
That's good.
And I quizzed a lot of overweight friends, and they all had the skinny friend.
Yeah.
You know, so I knew I was onto something. But that was coming back to one of your other points, Pauline. It was all about them. It was customer focused. It wasn't product focused.
Yeah.
And the language was targeted to women. It wasn't blokey language. You know, if I was writing to fishermen or something like that, yeah, I'd write how fishermen talk.
Yeah.
You know,
so it
comes back to the 101 stuff that we get trained on is understanding your market and having true empathy for them, you know, and understanding what their day's like.
There's one phrase that a lot of marketers use, and it's a very popular email header. And Laurie Morgan Ferreira, my best mate, and I were talking.
She is cool. Laurie is cool.
She is awesome. We were talking one day because she taught me a lot about writing for women. Anyway, so then we were talking about it. She said, quite frankly, I'm confused. Or quite frankly, I'm puzzled. And I went, ooh. And she goes, ooh, just started to laugh because it's like that doesn't work with women. It's like you're confused.
That was Dan's second, third step in the funnel was, you know, people who didn't buy, you'd send them out a piece of a jigsaw puzzle, you know, and quite frankly, I'm puzzled why you haven't responded.
I think in that context, when there's something to tie it in, that's great. I think that would work really great because I love lumpy mail and grabbers. I love the creativity of that whole, you know, that writing style. But I think it's just when you get a random email from, you know, an internet marketer who's got no compassion, empathy or anything like that, and they're just like going, quite frankly, I'm confused. And it's like, you're confused. You're the one who sent the freaking email.
I'm confused why I haven't sucked more money out of your wallet for my bright, shiny object piece of shit.
I'm confused why you don't want my offer and you don't want to give me money. It's like,
yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
no, that's a good one. And there's a story about the Crest toothpaste too.
Yeah, there is. This just very quickly is, you know, people don't realise the buying decisions of women are just so powerful. And, you know, I was talking to a guy one day, and he was an American, and he said, Pauline, do you have Crest toothpaste in Australia? I need to buy some more. I've run out. I said, no, that's not a brand here. And he goes, oh, my goodness. I said, well, we've got Colgate and all that sort of stuff. He goes, no, but it's not Crest. I said, well, why do you have to have Crest? He goes, well, my mother gave it to me. Her mother gave it to her, and, you know, it goes back a couple of generations ever since that toothpaste came out. You know, one of the women decided to buy that toothpaste, and everyone in the family uses it, you know, like all the kids, all the grandkids, everyone. And so just that one woman making a buying decision however many years ago has influenced how many hundreds of people. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's cool.
And big takeaway there too, for our listeners is that, you know, especially for the blokes, you got to understand, depending on the studies you read, you know, 80% of the buying decisions is made by the woman in the household.
Mm-hmm.
So if you turn off that segment, you're turning off the money tap for a lot of stuff. And so you need to understand not just how males purchase stuff, but how everyone purchases stuff.
And
I think, I think you really can't go wrong if you've got empathy for who you're selling to. And especially with us guys, you know, direct response, you know, we're asking for that response. If you've got true empathy and you can really understand what their day's like, I think you're going to be okay. This has been good so far.
Very good.
That brings us into our next tip anyway.
This is tip number five, our fifth and final tip.
Yeah, we're doing all right to smash through them in this time.
We're cruising along.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, tip number five is all about empathy. It's about being honest and don't fake it. And what I see a lot online, especially on Facebook, Fakebook, whatever, is a lot of the copywriters – I saw the other day a copywriter was asking in a forum, how do I get more empathy into my writing? I'm struggling. And I looked at the guy and I went, yeah, That's okay. And I was going to make some suggestions, but then all the band of peanuts got in there and started to say, you know, this is what you do, this is what you don't do. David Deutsch got in, and he actually was like the sane person amongst the asylum. But anyway, but
I'm glad you slapped yourself on another note too, Paulina. Glad you slapped yourself and didn't, right?
Because
that would have taken time out of your day and it was free.
Exactly right.
But anyway.
Back to my because I'm a great observer in life, but like you are, Pete, I know that you observe people a lot. Yeah. So what I did notice though is one of the more so-called respected copywriters in there said, "Oh, I just fake it. I just fake it. Can't be bothered doing too much research on it. The client doesn't pay me enough for deep research, so I just fake it." And I just looked at him and I thought, yep, that's why copy stinks. And for the conscious consumer, they will smell fakery a mile away. And then they tell all their friends about it. And that's something about the conscious consumer, and especially when it's made up of so many women. Women can be really bitchy. I don't know that you've ever noticed this, guys, but women really? Can be bitches. Yeah.
No way. Pauline, cannot be serious.
I know.
See, you can say that.
Exactly, I can.
You can say it. Look, it needs to be said,
doesn't it? So I'll take it.
I wouldn't say that, Pauline. I don't say it needs to be said.
All right. Anyway. So, I mean, we can be quite bitchy. We can be very clicky. And so there was an old saying, you know, like if you upset someone, you know, they'll tell their best friends. And, you know, these days, if you upset someone, they'll tell their whole friggin' network on Facebook. They'll put a post up. I've seen people, like, track all through their friends' pages, through the company pages. They're tagging friggin' Tony Abbott. They're tagging their local member of Parliament. Well, because someone upset them.
Yeah, sometimes I think to myself, you know, someone's upset them, so they go to all this trouble. Yeah. And I think to myself, maybe, just maybe, I know this could be left field and out there, but just maybe she had a problem before that little incident.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
Is it just me?
No, Pete, no. That's a good point.
It's a good observation. However, remember.
Something ticked her off and it was just enough, wasn't it, you know?
Yeah. But also, as a copywriter and marketer, we have to see the world as it is, not how we would like it to be. So, you know, as ridiculous as that may sound to us or seem to us, we still need to, I guess, just observe and see, okay, well, there are humans out there like that. So let's, you know, we don't have to cater for them, but be mindful that they're the ones that are reading our copy as well.
Yeah, and that's a good point you made too. And you don't have to pander to people like in our industry, like, you know, every couple of weeks, and I won't call them a fruitcake because that's judging them, and I won't call them loopy and just weird tricks, you know, but every couple of weeks I get this really long, rambling, just piece of crap email sent to me. Mm-hmm. But in those 2 weeks, I've probably got about 20 really good ones that saying, Pete, you know, just keep doing what you're doing, man, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I don't listen to the other one, especially when you know you're in the right.
I'm
just being myself. If being my authentic self, like we're talking about now, upsets someone, that's okay, because I'm not for everyone, and we shouldn't try to be either. I've got the old analogy. I think I've got it from Seinfeld. You know, it's just like a Band-Aid. You know, with a Band-Aid, just rip it off as quick as you can. Don't prolong the pain. It'll hurt for a little tiny bit, and that's it, and then you just move on.
Exactly.
But in saying that, if you're pissing people off because you've messed up, and because you haven't been congruent, and because you're faking it, that's when it becomes bad. I can see your point there.
Yeah. Hey Pete, you know that I was a nurse. There's two ways to rip off a Band-Aid. There's the way, you rip it off with the hair. Doesn't hurt as much. And so if you really want to hurt, rip it off against the hair. So there you go.
Against the hair.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that. There you go.
Nurses know that. Mm. So, you know, if you piss them off, they'll rip it off the wrong way. Or that maybe it's the right way. I know.
When I was 17. Oh, that was my fault anyway. Yeah, that was my fault.
So, I mean, now, I guess,
real empathy, and I can imagine when you're writing copy, Pauline, you go down deep. You're actually feeling for these people. A lot of times I get very emotional when I'm writing. Not all the time. I'm not saying, and I'm not being cynical either, but sometimes I'm writing to a market that really touches me.
Yeah.
And I know if I'm getting emotional, that my copy's emotional too. You know?
Yeah, I get that. Especially when I write for the retirement market, it just breaks my heart. You know, like they've had all their hopes and dreams, you know, smashed by, you know, the poor performance of Super and things like that. But I was writing some lumpy mail for a company, and I invented the teabag retirement test, and now I use that as a grabber. And I said, you know, you might notice that I've attached a tea bag to this letter. Why have I done this? Well, you know, for some retirees or even pensioners, they'll be able to tell you exactly how many times they can use a tea bag until they can't taste any tea anymore.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's good, Pauline. I like that. That's really good.
Yeah. And apparently that was like a hit. And and then like Ray went home to her mum's house. She's a pensioner, and she goes, "Oh, Mum, she was making a cup of tea. Mum, do you want me to keep the cup of the tea bag?" And her mum goes, no, that's okay. You can throw it away. Like, why would you use it twice?" And Ray goes, "Phew, she passed."
but see, if you, you know, you don't, that big idea that you sucked out of that market, you wouldn't have been able to think that way unless you knew the market and you had empathy for them.
Exactly.
You know, to talk about, you know, pensioners recycling the tea bags. I mean,
if I didn't have any empathy, you know, you'd attach like a playing card and you say, "Well, you have to play the cards you've been dealt, you silly shit," like something like that. You know,
or don't gamble on your retirement.
Poker chip. Creativity, but exactly. So I mean, that's where you can really get deep. But I mean, that really connected with the people, and I mean, I'm sure that they can't look at tea bags the same way, and they'll be going, "Man, I do enjoy my tea," or even if it's coffee, you know, it's like, are you going to have a half a spoon of coffee instead of a full spoon, you know? So,
yeah, but even to the, yeah, as you said, even those people that wouldn't recycle their tea bags, that would have still hit home.
Oh, yeah.
And they would still, and because it was direct mail, like there'd be follow up letters as well, you know, for those who don't
exactly.
Mind. Yeah. So they would remember that. Mm. But we are running out of time.
We are. Late. Getting towards the end.
But is there anything that we should finish up on here?
I'm pretty happy with what I've gone through today. I mean, I was going to reference some. I've just done a ClickBank offer. I've been, you know, in my past this year creating a product called Manifest Your Man. And I just saw a hole in the women's market where they just need someone to help them to heal their past. So I've called it Manifest Your Man, Heal Your Hurts, Get Your Goddess Back, and Learn to Love Again. And, I mean, all of those points hit a particular pain. It's very much designed for the conscious consumer. There's no bullshittery in there. It's, you know, copywriters, we can make up words. You know, but even in doing that, the video sales letter for that, it's dripping with emotion and empathy for the market. So if people want to check that out, they can go to manifestyourmannow.com. And just check that out if they want to see something that's, you know, got that empathy factor in it.
Yeah,
but apart from that, if they want to get in touch with me, I'm going to be putting together a free report on all of these five tips so we can go deeper down the rabbit hole and they can check that out. Conscious consumer, I think they just don't want to be treated like a cash cow. They just want to know that you care about them.
Exactly. So.
And Pauline, you're on my email list, mate, and every couple of weeks, every year I'm bringing out new products, and every couple of weeks I'll have some type of promotion. I get a few people whinging and moaning, but I also get a lot of emails coming back saying, I'm filing all your emails, Peter. Love what you're doing. And by the way, I bought, you know. And a lot of them do it with a smile on their face because, you know, why get on my list if you don't want to see how to sell? Why get on my list if you don't want to buy some stuff and take this further? So you can do this. You can sell and you can sell well, but do it in a way that your tribe and your tribe will be different than mine, that they wish to buy. Now, people, manifestyourmannow.com is Pauline's video letter. So check that out. And if you do want to manifest your man, buy the damn thing. But, Pauline's copywriting website is thecopyalchemist.com. So mate, and that'll be, in the transcripts of the show. So the folks on the call, don't forget to, go over to PeteGodfreyShow.com and sign in there to get the transcripts. I'm also putting together some persuasion cheat sheets that'll only be going to that list. And also, please, more reviews. We need more reviews. Apparently Blake's always telling me how important reviews are. And he sat me down the other day, said, I don't think you realize the importance of reviews, Pete. And I said, well, I do now, Blake. So,
we need more.
You know, he gets so stern sometimes. It's very frightening. But, to finish up, I just want to thank Pauline. Thanks for your time, darling.
Thank you very much, Pauline.
Thank you.
We really appreciated you.
Good having you on.
Coming on the show and Blake. That's about it for me and Pauline, so it's over to you, my friend.
Thank you very much. So, and again, thanks to Pauline for being on the show and for everyone else. As Pete just mentioned, to get the transcripts for this episode, head over to PeteGodfreyShow.com and sign up. And once again, if you do want to check out Pauline, her website is thecopyalchemist.com. And that's it from us, and we'll be back with you in the next episode.
Thanks for tuning into the show. Be sure to jump on iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, and leave a review. Remember, to have detailed show notes and transcripts emailed to you, head over to PeteGodfreyShow.com and sign up.